Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Chauncey, we are into August, my friend.
Yes, we are, and man. We here.
Boy, did the summer go fast. Michigan summers are short. That's why we have to enjoy them. Do things that are positive.
Yes, brother. It's been a long summer for me, like with coaching and everything. We just ended our Fresh Start program with C3 running it, Community Collaboration Coalition, and the County Court Judge, DJ Hilson, Judge Pittman, Eric Stevenson, Tom Crywright, Rodney Walker, Bernard Laudamille, and several others that's been in support of it, the staff at Fresh Start. But today, this summer, we functioned out the Board of Education, and we worked good, man. We're about 39 kids, and it was a pretty good program, and was able to have employees and everything, and put some money in some people's pockets, and and make sure they do something positive with our community youth. That was fun, and my clothes are wet today because we was in the dunk tank today.
So, oh, okay.
So when you're teaching life skills to kids and you picking with them, they like, you get in the dunk tank. We about to make sure you hit the bottom. So. That program is done for the summer, and we get ready to phase into the school year to do probably like twice a week. But
what's the age group for that, Chauncey? The Fresh Start?
14 to probably 19, 14 to 18, around that age group.
Okay, so if parents want their kids to get involved in the Fresh Start, how do they get them involved?
You got to be in trouble. You don't want you to get in trouble. You got to be you court mandated to do that program.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's something that that helps the county give the kids a way they can be at home, but also they can get all the wraparound support services that's in the community. So it's a collaboration piece where the community comes in, steps in with different nonprofits, and they work together. And then the county court helps supply the kids, and the organizations work together and just build. So it's business. Like, it's just saying we could do big business in our own city and we can help our community out. But like those people I named, those were the key players that help support this program. It's probably like this is the third year of being completed with no violence. Kids from Muskegon and Muskegon Heights in the same building, over 40 of them.
Okay.
No violence. I'm going to say that again, Tony. No violence. Staff from Muskegon and Muskegon Heights working with the kids and having people like from the probation officers, people from downtown coming in and supporting, and it's just put your head in. Whatever resources you bring to the table, work together. Don't hold on to your resources. Don't be judgmental and say, hey, let's help these kids out. And I mean, it's been fun, man. It's my third summer working with them, and we're about to kick off into the year. So that's how my summer ended on that note, and it's been fun. I mean, I appreciate it. So it's just something that a vision that we had, and we made it happen. And I remember the first year doing it, and it's good to be enlightened where, kids that said, people saying that getting a second chance is truly worth it, man. I just really feel that our youth need a second chance.
Yes.
I know DJ said that the kids graduate from high school after they complete the Fresh Start program, he would expunge their records. So that's
really
you don't get that in life. But I always commend him every time I see him. I give him a hug and have fun with him because that you don't get people like that's vested like that all the time, that's willing to support an initiative in an urban community. A lot of times people just do their job, but I can see that he has an empathy for second chances and because he has a family. He sees it like, well, sometimes you just can't hold it against someone. You got to give them an opportunity. So if they really want to mess up, that's on them.
Right,
but
right.
Other than that, I'm going to give you a chance as a youngster. So
yeah, and he put some responsibilities on the kids as well when he says that you'll expunge the crime if they graduate from high school, which is a win-win, right?
Yeah, so we got past graduates that completed cosmetology school, some that's in college. So it's been working, man. It's credit recovery, grades on track, some athletes that we had in the past. So I'm not going to mention any names. I just mentioned the names of the key players to help support it. But I think it's something that was God-sent and just something supportive and just having a judge and DJ Hilson on top of it and Eric Stevenson being a part of this. It just makes you know that there's people in this county that really care about the kids and want to see good things happen instead of locking people up.
Right. That's not always the answer.
That's not always the answer. So I love them for that. And a lot of times when you see each other out in public, it ain't nothing but love and hugs because they know we got the same mission and the vision in common. So So I just want to commend those other two brothers, Rodney and Bernard Laudamille, Rodney Walker and Bernard Laudamille, on how they are they were very key people in making this happen. And the staff that we work with are just a group of loving people that's fun to come with every day. I wish I could work with them every single day. So yeah.
So yeah, we just hope the audience, when you do see these guys out on the street and they're around, you know, walk up to them and thank them for the service that they've provided our community, and in hopes of it moving forward and doing great work. Great.
Because yeah. I mean, the odds is the kids would have either been in, would have been in residential, or they would have been downtown locked up, and they weren't. They were able to go home. They had to come to the program, and you know, they was able to work with someone that can help them see themselves through their problems. So.
Awesome.
Just, so it was a great relationship building thing. And when you see them out in the public, and it's like they're people, man. They just got made one bad choice. So I just love, I love my community for what they've done. So,
fantastic.
Thank you, Family Court.
Yes, very good. Very good, Judge Pittman.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of teens, you know, we're kind of talking about teaching teens financial responsibility.
That's right, and that's that goes hand in hand with this program we just completed.
It has to.
Yeah. I know the JAGS program came in and did the job training piece of budget, financial literacy. It did some components and everything. So it's, that's one of the collaborations.
Great.
Yep. So
fantastic.
And so looking at financial literacy for teens, responsibility is a big thing. I can remember growing up. I mean, just thinking about our childhood. I mean, I'm 38 years old. This is a long time from now. It's 20 years. I got to go back 20 years. When I go back two decades, I remember my childhood. Now I'm telling my age. But just looking back, it's just my parents were retired, Tony, and they got, I got a Social Security check.
Okay.
It was, I think it was like $655 a month. Me and my little sister split that check.
That's at a first, lot of paper, man.
It was three of us.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to clear that up. It was three of us. My oldest sister, Katina, was splitting it with. She got the most. She used to get the $300 a month. Then me and my little sister split like $300. But then my mom used to take out $200 for soap.
Incidentals.
Yep. Incidentals, toothpaste, you know, just stuff like that. And then
right.
We had an allowance. And then it got to the point when the check came, I got the whole check. And then I remember my little sister getting a whole check by herself when she turned 18. It dropped a little bit, but she was straight. She had a car and everything. I gave her my little Regal. She was bad, though.
She was bad. Yeah, she didn't deserve no.
Yeah, she was reckless.
She didn't deserve,
I love
no
her, though.
Guy.
She was reckless. But that's – so I got to see that money go through all those hands. But mine even extended through college.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's Social Security. It extended through college. I don't know how they did that, but it – it went through time.
Well, I think it changed because I was under the, somewhat under the same program with Social Security. But now.
It's different now.
18.
They cut off at 18?
18. You're done. Regardless, if you go to college, because before.
You could go to college.
If you turned 18 and was enrolled in college.
Yes, that's right.
You could continue to get the benefits.
Yep, now they changed that then. Okay.
It's off the table.
Man, they helped me out a lot because I went to college my first year. And I thought I was done. I didn't do the paperwork. I had to, when a building used to be downtown.
Social Security, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be downtown. I ain't think nothing about it. And my dad was like, boy, I went to the military. I worked all of my hours. You ain't used none of my services?
Right.
So one of my friends from college had to take me downtown and show me that you could still get the Social Security check.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting that in college. So that helped me.
Yeah, so, yeah, I got it for a while, too.
I think they do that. They do the Pell Grant or something now. So
right.
When you come for a certain income, they're like, oh, we'll give you this much a year.
Yeah, back when I was in school, we used to have what they called the dependent and non-dependent, which said if you stayed at home, you were still a dependent of your parents, and you didn't get all the good benefits unless you moved out, went out of state, and now you are a basically an independent student.
That's right.
Which allowed you to get additional grants and loans.
Yeah.
So,
yep, you're right. You're exactly right. And similar to that today. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But that goes all into our teaching students, teaching young teens financial responsibility. But it starts before they're 18, right?
Oh, absolutely, Chauncey, man. When I was like eight, 9 years old, you know, I was working. I would contract people in the neighborhood to cut their grass.
Ah.
Okay? I had a little route. I did paper routes, which they don't have anymore for the most part. And I cut grass, cleaned out garages, basements, and I had a savings account when I was like 9 years old, and I've had one since, okay? And trust me, when you start at an early age understanding the value of saving.
Yes, sir.
And working, it carries you through life.
I was always told, my father used to always tell me, pay myself first.
Yes.
And I understand, like, what do you mean? Like, buy myself some shoes, some Jordans.
That's not paying yourself.
Buy myself a whole bunch of baseball caps and put them on the wall with some T-shirts and some posters.
No.
And a whole bunch of video games, pay myself and buy goodies and snacks. That's like the mindset is like, no, take 10% of your paycheck.
Put it in the bank.
Put it in the bank. Okay. Then at the time, my aunt used to try to make me pay tithes, but I was just like, that's my money.
Right.
Cause I was so naive and so dumb as a kid. To this day, I do automated tithes. As soon as I get a deposit or something, I got the church that I go to, I got it right on there, like, just go on here and take it.
Well, yeah, I got a granddaughter 5 years old.
Yes.
And
so what you teaching her right now?
Oh, it's off the chart, man. But, but I got to tell you this story.
Yes.
She probably got more money than most 25-year-olds. But
she like it now.
She had a question as to, when you're in church, we talk about giving tithes and offering to God. And her question was, well, how does he get the money?
Mm.
5 years old, man.
So what was your comeback? I know the comeback. But what?
I didn't get that question.
Oh.
That was a question she asked her dad.
Oh, okay. So you weren't in the presence.
No.
So did he call you?
He did. He had to call me on this one, man.
What advice you give him?
How does God get the money?
Yeah.
Basically, he had just explained to her that through the church, the ministry that the church provides to the community is that's the way that God receives his tithes and offering. It's not directly in a bank account, but it's through the work of the ministry in order to keep a facility, in order to have, various programs inside the church to promote the religion of Christianity.
Yes, sir.
Is basically how he receives his tithes and offering.
That's right. But, so you gave the right answer. I was at a conference today. They were talking about that, and they were saying that through the service of man, that's how God is paid back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're paying your tithes, and you don't worry about where it's going. Like, I gave $10,000. I make sure that $10,000 go to this.
Right.
You don't have no control and liberty over that. You just paying into that system. So as that system goes, the responsibility is on you and trust whoever you entrust with that money, whatever their spirit is led on their board or whatever they have at their church, they make sure that programs happen. And people get blessed. That's not as fortunate as you.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. So, and you want your church leadership to have, solid financial, biblical principles when it comes to how the money is used. And unfortunately, no, not all of them are that way.
You're right.
Okay. But
that's not our job.
No.
Don't be the judge.
Right.
If I give you something, the karma come back on you. Somebody want to buy a Bugatti and they preaching to you, don't get mad at them.
No, or a new jet. They got to have a new jet to get to where you got to go.
That's right.
Right. So how much is enough, really? So, but yeah, I thought that was a very interesting concept for a 5 year old.
She's learning a lot. Y'all teaching her a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I'm teaching her a lot about finances, because it's easier if parents, pass on cost saving techniques to teens.
An example, like being an example, right?
Right.
That's what you want.
And be an example. Have meaningful activities for kids, such as discussing, family monthly income and expenses.
That's right.
Let them know.
Here go my example. Like, you gave your example.
Okay.
Here's my example. When I was young, but I was in the second grade.
Okay.
So she's five. She probably getting ready to go to pre-K, kindergarten.
First grade.
Yeah, first grade.
Yeah.
I'm in second grade going to third grade, and I meet my grandfather for the first time, and I stay on the farm with him for a summer. Now, they growing all the food on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
I would die to have a chicken that's organically grown right
come
now.
Come on. Come on.
Snap peas, some okra, the white beans. I would love to have that.
Fresh.
Fresh right now. But when I was in the second grade, I want some pizza. I want a hamburger.
Oh, my gosh.
I want pizza. I want hamburger. I want some candy. So what he was doing, I used to have to pick cotton and snap peas and have to slop. I learned how to slop the hogs going second and third grade.
Okay.
I used to be in the pig pen, pushing the hogs, all that.
And didn't hurt you, did it?
No, it didn't hurt me. But because he told me this. He said, he would say, I'll pay you this much every week, young man, if you do this work.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, how much? He said, I'll pay you $200 a week for the whole summer. I'm like, I'm in the second one, third. I'm like, I'll take that.
Oh, absolutely.
Here go the financial lesson that I got. And anybody that know me, if they are relative or anything, if they listen to our show today, especially my sister, they're going to remember this. Because my whole family remember this situation from me and my grandfather. This is when I learned that I was going to have to be a man and make sure I govern my own finances. So I'm working every week. It's about 8 weeks 8 to 10 weeks. That's $2,000. I'm old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, my hands rubbing together. I'm like, I can't wait. But the whole time, every weekend, when he goes sell a hog, he taking me to the town, buying me toys, buying me pizza,
okay,
candy. I'm getting tennis shoes. I'm like, I'm going to get $200 a week, and I'm getting all this.
All these perks.
Man, I'm like, these some benefits. I ain't going back to Muskegon. You know? It's the job. So, like, I get ready to leave the final week. I say, grandfathers, let's talk. It's time to talk business. I'm a little kid from the hood. I'm right. From the projects, and I'm down on this farm. So I'm like, I'll let you, granddaddy. We ain't talking about my payment yet. That'll work.
It's time to settle up.
Yeah, it's time to settle up. He say, come here. He say, all right. So, you know, them old men like that back in the day, you live on a farm. He got a safe in the crib.
Right.
So he popped the safest. He got rolls nice of money in there.
Because
he got a farm. You know what I'm saying? He got to be able to gotta have cash on tap. He sell a hog going for almost $1,600.
Mm.
So I'm looking like, well, this guy, he got some money. So he pulled the money out. He got it like laid out. He said, what I owe you? I said, well, look, I'm in third, second grade. So
you're doing the math on it.
Yeah. I said, you know, you owe me $2,000. He said, man, $2,000's a lot of money, young fella. He said, but you did work every week. And you know what I'm going to do for you? I got you. He said, hey, let me count it out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, like 50s and 100s and 20. Laid it all out. That's $2,000. I was like, nah, second and going third grade, $2,000, like $20,000 right now for me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm in there. I'm going to be killing. I'm going to get a new bike. I'm going to do this. He said, I said, let me, this mine. He said, yeah. I said, he grabbed my hands. Hold on. Y'all hold on, young fella. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, hey, you was a great worker, but what did you stay at
Uh-oh.
The whole summer?
Uh-oh.
I said, you gave me the room by myself in the back with the TV. And I had a quad, and, you know, he said, how you get around? I said, I had a little quad, a little four-wheeler you let me ride, a little baby one, a little kids get ride. He said, yeah, that can take gas, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Electricity, don't it?
Maintenance. Yeah.
He said, what you eat? I said, oh, man, you fed me good, man. Pizza, hamburgers every time. He said, what?
I set you up.
He said, well, I did a budget for you. I broke it down.
I like him.
He had room rent. How much the room costs?
Good move.
How much the food? Each meal was broke down. Going to town with him every week to sell the hogs, he charged me for that. Because I was joyriding.
Okay.
He told me, ain't no rides for free.
Great example.
Bought me some clothes. I was like, you think all that was free, young man? You work for all that. He said, you know what I got for you, though? He said, here you go. He gave me $300. Tony, I got so pissed, I threw that money back at him.
No, you didn't.
I threw that $300 back in his face. And you know what I said? I said, man, you're going to pay me my $2,000 or I'm walking back to Muskegon.
Is that?
Guess where we was at? Greenwood, Mississippi.
Oh my God, you still walking.
So I'm in the second grade and it's dark outside.
Oh my goodness.
I get my luggage, right? I said, I'm out of here. So he an OG. He like,
yeah, you didn't phase him.
And you know, when you an OG like that, grandmama ain't gonna say nothing to you.
Uh-uh.
My mama and them ain't saying nothing either.
Nope.
I'm like, I'm out of here, mama. You brought me down to this crazy man. He don't pay nobody for what you do. These country people. Always trying to rip somebody off. I'm pointing my finger in his face. Knowing I probably would get my butt tore up. He's looking at me like, yeah. He said, you mad, huh? So you think you can get a free ticket in this life.
Ain't that no free tickets.
So I walk. It's a night. And then we're in Mississippi in the woods on a farm.
It's dark.
Ain't no street
lights. It's dark.
Ain't no street lights.
It's pitch black.
There's no street lights.
Right.
So I'm dragging
only my, one stop sign.
Yeah, I'm dragging my luggage. And his land, he got miles of land. So I walked for like 30 minutes to the fence. He let me get out the fence and walk almost on the highway and pull up in his truck. Like, boy, what you doing? Like, I'm going to walk home, man. You always playing somebody. You always going to play the game. You called my daddy ugly. You said he wasn't nothing. You know, he's my mama daddy. And the whole thing was, he made me get back in the car, gave me a spanking, and they took me back. I went to sleep. I cried. Then that's later on that summer, we moved back. Over Christmas, I got $2,000. He sent the money.
Really?
But it was a lesson that I learned. And the next time I went back, me and him really had a good relationship. I love that man. He died in 95. But he was somebody that I learned about money. That's the first time I got educated about money on that. Everything costs. There's no freeloaders.
Mm-hmm.
And he always talked about working for himself. He always talked about being an entrepreneur. I didn't get that till I was like 23 years old. And it's like he didn't have nothing more than a fourth grade education. He owned all that land. And he inherited his land because he had a different last name. Like, his last name is Davis. I'm not related to no other Davises but him. He had to change his name because the original owner of that land, they moved north for the Freedmen's Bank stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because his father was a former slave.
Gotcha.
My grandfather's father was a slave. So when he got the land, when everybody went south and it became sharecroppers, my grandfather, my great-grandfather inherited that land, and my father, that was a different last name, like Wilsons and Sims, I'm related to them too. But there's no Davises I'm related to outside of that. That other man's name was Davis. My granddaddy changed his name to Davis and inherited the land.
Wow.
And inherited the business.
Man, that's an awesome story.
So I was like, he wasn't playing about his money.
No.
So that's my example.
Nobody gave it to him.
Yeah. So like just looking at today's time, will our generation be able to see people like that?
It's gonna be hard, Charles.
It's gonna be hard.
It's gonna be hard because we don't have the older people.
Your notes right here say, what it say?
Leading by example.
That's it. That's
it.
That's one of our pointers there. It's like, I don't know where that's gonna come from for somebody else.
Nope.
That lesson sticks in my head. I don't remember nothing
else. Never forget that, man.
I don't remember nothing else in the second grade. How he played me. I don't remember that. But he didn't play me. He taught me a valuable lesson.
Taught you a lesson. And it just took you a while to realize what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And like you said, man, that is invaluable. And you know, I came up in the same kind of environment where, you know, there was no free ride. Okay.
Nothing.
You were expected to work. You were expected to save. It's like when we were growing up, man. Blueberry Field.
I did that. That's crazy. Tony, how old was your parents?
My mom is 91 years old.
My dad would be 92. So, like, even though I'm a lot young, I'm not a lot younger than you, even though I'm a young man.
Right. You're a young man.
Yep. And you're a senior. You're my senior, like a mentor, a guy that's older than me. My dad would be 92 right now.
Okay.
So I come from your generation, but I'm just youngster. I'm a youngster in your generation. I had older parents.
But it was the principles that they brought to the table.
That's right. Because I tried to book that. I tried to book them principles now. Because my friends was in the next generation.
Oh, yeah.
So I was being raised like I supposed to have been born in the 60s or the 50s. Like the 60s or the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I was being raised like that. But my mind was trying to buck like I'm going to be an 80s and 70s baby.
Right.
I was bucking.
You was on a Generation X instead of a baby boomer.
Yep. I was bucking it like... They like, no, save, do this. I'm like, no, I won't. It's just like, it was a constant fight.
Uh-huh.
But now I look back over my life, I'm like, it was done because I had elders in my life that was like, you're not going to squander a dollar.
Nope. They worked too hard, Chauncey, back in the day. They didn't have all the luxuries that we have today. I mean, even though my parents both worked, I can remember it wasn't often, but we had government subsidized food in our house.
But look, I'm going to tell you this. Here you go. I was always told, my daddy was ashamed of getting it. He say, look, we ain't going to be on this loan. Me and you finna go fishing.
Okay. Yeah, we got it because our parents was on strike.
Yep.
That's the reason.
Or my mom was going to be she was a homemaker, but she was at somebody else cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
Or like doing something. She's like, we ain't been on this forever.
No. Nope.
We're not going to be generational poverty. And we're not right now.
And we're not.
None of my sisters and my siblings are on any type of government assistance. They all got jobs or trades or skills.
That's right.
Right now.
Because you had to in order to live in that household.
That's right.
Okay, and which said that as young folks, this is how you're going to act because it's going to be a benefit when you get older.
And it's 16 of us, and I can't name not one person that's a felon.
That is awesome.
Out of the projects. So I'm like, hold up. They was doing the right thing.
Yeah. Stuff like that just don't happen.
Now, generations after that, I can't even talk about the next generation.
Right.
I'm talking about my immediate brothers and sisters. I can't name not one that got in trouble with the law, seriously. So it just make you think that leading by example is something that really plants in you.
It's invaluable, man. There's no college, there's no university that our parents went to taught them these solid principles of life.
You're right.
Okay. PhDs, whatever. It doesn't matter, man. When you raise your children to understand the importance of the basic necessities of life.
Food, clothes, and shelter.
You will change the way they view life and how they are in their life. You're gonna make a difference, but it has to be by example.
Like I couldn't even like I can't even imagine like the things that my friends got, and the things I wanted. My dad was like, "No, you don't need that."
Mm-hmm.
And I got mad. I'm like, "I want me some Jordans."
No.
He was like, "Boy," he said, "You ain't even that good."
Just broke them you down.
Shoes. He say, "You better get something that's comparable."
Right.
Because they say, only reason that man paying the money for them shoes because y'all believe in that hype. I was like,
I was
just so
that.
Mad. I was like, what are you talking about?
That's just good old common sense.
You whack. That's whack.
Common sense.
Everybody else, he's like, yeah, everybody else, huh? Everybody else got them, huh?
Yeah.
Everybody else ain't going to have nothing.
Yeah, you're going to be broke just like everybody else when you get older.
Lord.
If you don't learn how to manage your money at a very early age. And it is truly lead by example. Teach your kids about a rainy day fund.
That's right.
It's going to happen. Things going to happen. Your transmission goes out.
Life happens.
And you got to be financially ready. You cannot spend all, you know, every money that comes in. You can't do it. And that's the part about
spend,
your dad.
You can't spend tomorrow's dollar today.
That's right. It's that simple.
Yeah.
When your dad say pay yourself first, that means take some money, put it in the bank. Okay?
Yes.
That becomes the start of a rainy day fund. But if you make $500 a week and you spend $500 a week, at the end of the month, what have you got?
Zero.
Okay? So that's when you talk, that's when you go to the money store and they hit you over the head.
Check cashing.
Right. For hundreds of dollars of interest and interest.
Yep. More month than money.
That's right. That's right, man.
Ooh.
But like I say, this stuff is so important that our culture really needs to sit down, have a strong, hard conversation with the children and let them understand. I may not have done it this way, but I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I have. That's why we're having this conversation, okay? Because it's real. It happens, man. If you don't get good guidance from your family, from your parents or your older sisters, you are apt to make the bad mistakes that a lot of us have made.
That lead by example. Show me what a budget is.
Right.
That's what he did. My grandfather sent me down and said, here go the budget.
Yeah.
This is the budget. It costs for you to be in this house.
That's right.
Them lights and them cartoons and He-Mans and all the Transformers and stuff you want to play with and watch on TV.
It wasn't free.
That's electricity.
Okay. And, you know, technically, I told my son, I said, as long as you live with me or if you move out and you live with somebody else, technically, you are homeless.
That's right.
Until you have your name on a lease, a deed, your name that you actually own or lease this property, technically, you're homeless.
You're right.
And you don't want to be in that category once you get old enough to understand and move out on your own.
No.
And,
you don't want to be enabled. So you didn't,
right.
Don't enable people to be who they think they're going to be to you. Some people just, even if, like tomorrow's youth, they look for you to enable them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody don't love me. If I can't have this, my life is over. If I can't have these shoes, I can't have these pants with all these cuts and it costs $200. I don't know what I'm going to do for school.
Huh.
Can you buy me some jeans with some cuts in it?
Mm-mm.
That's toe up. Charge $200 for them.
We're going to the Goodwill.
Yeah, we're going to make you some.
We're
going to put them in a washing machine. We're going to cut our own, put them in a washing machine, make our design on them, and everybody's going to be like, hey, how you get them pants?
Right.
Like they cost $200. You can make them yourself. Start your own business. That's what we want to do. So lead by example. Just get to the point where we stretch our imagination, but we also listen to the people that lived in yesteryear, and they got something.
Yes, sir, man.
That's what I do. I look at people and I say, all right, somebody give me advice. And I say, okay, you giving me some advice about something. And you came before me. So I look at what you're currently doing in your life that I can listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing that's good to have is silence when somebody talking that's some steps ahead of you in life. That the tidbit of information you can give you can probably add $10,000, $100,000 to your life.
Absolutely.
Just that easy. So it's like it's worth listening and have an example in front of you of somebody that did it before, even if they failed at it. And they telling you, like, you don't want these problems.
Right.
You don't want the problems that come with somebody not understanding a financial education.
Yeah, you know, and the piggyback on that is about, you know, spending money wisely, okay, doing research and smart purchases, going back to the wants and the needs.
Yes, right. We talked about that in a previous show.
Yeah, you got to stop and make those conscious decisions before you go out and buy big-ticket items. I'm going to tell you this story, and then we get ready to close.
Okay.
Had a guy come to my office. He says he went to one of the local car dealers, got a car, $10,000. We know his credit is jacked up, so he goes to get it financed. And when it's financed, it's now a $18,000 car.
Hold up, a $10,000 car. He financed $10,000. That's it.
Eight grand. No. The car was $10,000. When the finance company got through, it was like he was on the hook for $18,000.
So he got charged like a 20% interest.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
That's 15% interest.
Yeah. Yeah. You get a car worth $10,000, but to pay it off, you got to pay back the finance company $18,000.
So, you know, he was caught up in a payment.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it. Yeah, he was caught up in a payment that you pay for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
The car won't be worth anything if he still has it in 10 years. But again, that's the, you know, the mentality that we have is that we're not looking at the long haul. We're looking at this monthly thing. You can't do that. And people prey on them. You know, these predatory lenders prey on those folks.
Yeah, I'm going to share this right now. Like, I approached several dealerships because, you know, I help people with their student loan and their credit, right? I've approached several dealerships, sat in the desk with the manager or certain people and say, I can help people get better credit scores so they can have better finance in that car. Do you know not one of them called me back?
They're not going to.
They was like, man, please, you cutting into what's going to go in my pocket.
That's right.
I'm telling your audience, if you give a big down payment, you know where they go? In their pocket.
In their pocket.
And they make your payment go down, what, $25? $10, $10.
Yeah.
Each $100 make your payment go down $10.
Yeah. Don't do business with these guys. I don't know how bad your credit is. You're only you're putting yourself in a worse situation because you'll never, ever come out from under that debt the way they have it structured. So they're just making a bad situation worse.
Worse. Give you an example. If you can't get approved by your credit union, bank, don't even go. Or if you can't get the commercial, well, like the dealership say we are GM, General Motors, if we are Chevy, if you can't get the finance that say the GM or Chevy financing, whoever do the financing, Ford financing. Mm-hmm. Ford got some of the best financing structures. I know that. Ford does. If you can't do that, go whatever the title of the company is. If you can walk in there and get their financing for their merchant, not just like Bill's financing, some other obvious bank.
Right.
If you can't go to your credit union or your bank or go right and get the financing you see on a commercial, it's not really worth it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Find out what you need to do in order for your credit union to work with you. And that's a part of the work that Chauncey does is to help you, you know, restore your credit worthiness.
It's worth
it. But you can't continue to do business with these predator lenders and expect your credit to get better. It will never happen.
Yeah, I was just really thinking like, yeah, I'm going to go in. I'm going to call the dealerships, see if they want my help and support. Actual relatives that I had, I showed them like, yeah, you got to help somebody do it. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Blew me off. Sold people cars with bad credit. And we'll put this loan with this loan, and then you'll be loan top heavy.
Okay.
But your payment will only be this. And all they do is, like, I need a car. But they're not even worried about their credit score. And it's so sad. And people do their friends like that. They work at dealerships. They'll do you like that.
That's right. They don't care nothing about
you. They don't care nothing about you.
No.
They're not telling you, like, look, get your credit together, come back in a couple months, we'll put you in this. Or, look, how much money you got? I got $6,000. Well, look, we got these cars in the back. Buy this one for
$3,500.
Mm-hmm. And we'll put the rest on your credit. Get your credit fixed. And I'm telling you, young man, don't do it, young man. That's how somebody did me some years ago. Don't do it. Don't buy this car. Don't finance this. Your credit is terrible, Chauncey, right now. Here, buy this $5,000 car.
To get you where you got to go and spend the next couple of years building restoring your credit.
It only take a year.
Yeah. And now you can go into the credit union or, like you say, the preferred lenders and get decent rates. And not having to pay twice for a vehicle.
And then that goes to insurance.
Oh my gosh. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah. Your insurance would be $500. You're paying $500 for the car and $500 for the insurance on one car.
Yeah, we got to hold that thought because I had some examples this week But we're going to continue to talk about
financial literacy for teens.
For teens. It's important, and I think we need to continue that conversation, giving these real-life examples and offering folks help to make the next generation better than the generation that is in front of them now.
My name is Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.